This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
Kind of catapult the propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello, and welcome to Open Eyes. Well, guys, before I get started, I'm going to give you my website, openeyesnetwork.com. At that website, you can find an archive for all of our shows. Everything that I've done so far, you can listen to there. I welcome you to go and take a listen to it. I have topics covering pretty much everything you can imagine, and a lot of available content for you to consume. So definitely go there, take a look, openeyesnetwork.com. Hopefully you guys will find at least something to entertain you or to inform you, to inspire you, to push you forward into the next steps of things to do or to go through. Just a lot of information that's available. Tonight's topic, I'm going to warn ahead of time that some people out there may be offended at things that I have to say in this episode. And I'm giving you fair warning with it because I'm not afraid to offend. I'm not afraid to be politically incorrect. I have said it many times and I'll say it many times again. You guys have the option to go to a different show and listen if what I'm saying is something that you find offensive. I bite no bones about what I feel is the truth about things. And if people can't handle that, that's not my problem. That's not my issue. You're more than welcome to move on to something else that you'll find to be more to your tastes. With that being said, however, if you are willing to stick around with me through this topic, I think that you will find it to be very informative and maybe help to change the mindset of some folks that are out there. I'm speaking about the anti-gay agenda. There is a big problem, especially here in America, but prevalent throughout the world, that gay people basically are being bashed on continuously. They're being, in a lot of places in the world, they're being killed. They're being tortured. They are being ostracized. They are essentially losing their lives over something that, to them, they feel they cannot help. So, with that being said, the content tonight, again, may be offensive to some people, but it's something that I feel strongly about and need to speak about, and I really can't be silent about it anymore, especially in relation to some of the things that are coming up in the current time frame of things. But I'm going to be especially talking about the religious viewpoints as far as being gay is concerned, and touch on all of that stuff later on in the show. So before we get to all of that, I do have some news that I have to cover. The first bit of news is one that I actually just ran across right before starting to record, so there is not a lot of information that's available yet regarding the situation, but I thought that I would give you the information so that you guys could do some research yourself and figure out exactly what it is that's going on with it all. Despite President Obama claiming in September that the U.S. strategy used to combat terrorism in Yemen has been a success, so successful, in fact, that it should be used to defeat ISIS, the country continues to fall apart. Late yesterday, the United States evacuated the U.S. embassy in Yemen, and Marines were bizarrely ordered by the State Department to destroy issued weapons on their way out. The British and French also closed and evacuated their embassies yesterday, citing safety and security concerns. The Marine Security Force left the American Embassy in Yemen for the movement to the airfield as part of the ordered departure with only personal weapons. All crew-served weapons were destroyed at the embassy prior to movement. None of them were handed over in any way to anyone. The destruction of weapons at the embassy and the airport was carried out in accordance with an approved destruction plan. So I wanted to make that last part. I wanted to be sure that that last part got in here, because I know that some people are already saying that weapons got left behind and so forth, but they are trying to say that no weapons were left behind. So if that's the case, then that's the case. But what we have here is developing a situation that can turn really dangerous really fast. I mean, we have a lot of quote-unquote terrorism problems in Yemen, and a lot of things are being funded and forced to take place through that country. So the fact that the United States and the European countries are closing their embassies there, that's a big problem. There's something really developing there, and we really need to start taking a closer look to see what's going on. So we'll see what ends up happening. I'll keep on researching this myself and bring you any developing information that I run across and find. So make sure you stay tuned to my show. The Federal Election Commission is considering regulating online political speech. Now, guys, I have been talking about this for a while as well, and it really makes my hackles rise in a big way, considering that this type of thing would directly impact something like my show, because my show would be considered to be speaking politically based type, things. So this would directly impact a show like mine. So of course I'm going to be really concerned about this, right? Well, the Federal Election Commission is holding a hearing to receive public feedback on whether it should create new rules regulating political speech, including political speech on the internet that one commissioner warned could affect blogs, YouTube videos, and even websites like the Drudge Report. The hearing is a response to the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in McCutcheon versus the FEC last year, which struck down the FEC's previous cap on aggregate campaign contributions from a single donor in an election cycle. Before the decision, individuals were limited to a combined total of $46,200 in contributions to all federal candidates and $70,800 to federal political action committees and panels. In parties. Individuals are no longer restricted by aggregate limits, with which Chief Justice John Roberts said intrude without justification on a citizen's ability to exercise the most fundamental First Amendment activities. A quote from the FEC here: despite the internet's growing importance as a tool for all citizens to engage in political debate, and notwithstanding this commission's promise to take a restrained regulatory approach with respect to online political activity, we believe that the time has come to impose greater regulation on political speech over the internet. What this basically means is that a show like mine, if they decided to regulate political speech on the internet, would be directly impacted by this. A show like Late Night in the Midlands would be directly impacted by this. Our websites could be directly impacted by this. Alternative news media outlets would be impacted by this. You see what I mean? This is a direct shot across the bow to all of us who are trying to be out here speaking the truth to you guys. And you've got to really take a close, pay close attention to this, guys, because this directly impacts everything that you see and hear. If you're listening to this show, then that means that you're interested in hearing independent viewpoints on the news and on issues without having some other entity saying, oh, well, you can't talk about that. You can't discuss that topic. I'm going to talk about a topic tonight, for instance, that people will say to me, you can't talk about that topic. And yet, what am I going to do? I'm going to talk about the topic because I'm not afraid to talk about topics. I'm not afraid to talk about things that are absolutely necessary to get the truth out about. And there are a lot of other people that are out there that are doing the same things. And we're going to be impacted by something like this. Start screaming and hollering about this one, guys. So you guys know that lately also I've been speaking about the measles outbreak that has been going on. And I really hate even using that word because it's not like it's some kind of huge pandemic that's going on. There's like 120 or so people that have been impacted by it so far. 60% of those are adults. 8% of those are the children that are considered to be the ones that are most in danger from the measles. I ran across this and I had to bring this out because this is something that I have said all along on this show. You go back in my records, you go back in my archives, and you will hear me speaking exactly about this. The outbreak of measles that started in California's Disneyland probably came from overseas, carried either by a foreign tourist or by an American coming back with the virus. This is information that's coming from the CDC themselves. We don't know exactly how this outbreak started, but we do think that it was likely a person infected with the measles overseas, Dr. Ann Schuchat of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention told reporters. We assume that someone got infected with measles overseas, visited Disneyland Park, and spread the disease to others. Now, I have been saying all along that it is not the problem of the anti-vaxxers that has been causing this issue, even though that is exactly who is getting blamed and getting hit with vitriol and hatred and violence, violent speech against. That's who's the target of all of this stupidity that's going on. And yet, come to find out from the CDC themselves, they expect or they suspect that it was actually somebody from overseas who started this problem off. That it was brought in from somewhere else where measles is a problem. How many times have you people heard me say that? And right here, CDC themselves are admitting it. So where are you pro-vacciners getting the crap about the fact that it's the anti-vaccine crowd that is causing this issue? It's bull. If you want to jail somebody for causing this problem, start jailing people who are coming in from foreign countries. Oh, wait, that's not the correct way to be, right? We can't jail people who are coming into the country, right? Even if they're illegal immigrants, we can't jail them either, right? It's stupidity at the finest. It really is. I'm glad that they came out and said this because this is right here is proof positive that what I've been saying to you guys is the absolute truth. No bullcrap. Speaking of more stupidity, A Montana lawmaker is seeking to strengthen the state's indecent exposure law, stopping just short of his wish to outlaw yoga pants. Representative David Moore on Tuesday introduced House Bill 365 in the House Judiciary Committee. The proposal would expand indecent exposure law to include any garment that gives the appearance or stimulates a person's buttocks, genitals, pelvic area, or female nipple. Oh, gotta watch out for them nipples. I'm telling you, nipples are the downfall of humanity, according to some of these crap heads. The Republican from Missoula says tight-fitting beige clothing could be considered indecent exposure under his proposal. He says he wouldn't have a problem with people being arrested for wearing provocative clothing, but that he would trust law enforcement officials to use their discretion. Yeah, because that happens, right? Because police officers use their best discretion in every single case, right? Ugh. Moore says he believes yoga pants and men's Speedo-style swim briefs should be illegal in public. This gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, spandex is a privilege, not a right. I mean, it sounds to me like Representative Moore is maybe consumed with lust of the flesh and doesn't have the testicular fortitude to take personal responsibility like a good Republican should, and just not look at what he deems to be sinful exposure. I mean, this is ridiculousness. You cannot legislate morality. It has been found over and over and over again that you cannot legislate morality. And to have someone come out like this and say that essentially this is causing people to have issues is just like saying how a woman dresses promotes the rape culture. Okay, it's the same attitude. It's the same kind of thing. This is where Muslims get the idea of having to wear the hijabs, the burqas. This is the same place. This is the same type of thinking. Are we living in the Middle East here? No. Stop with the stupid puritanical beliefs and the puritanical values and morals that we have had on us for hundreds of years now that were ridiculous to begin with. I mean, how many people out there get offended and look sideways at people, women who show their ankles? It still goes on today. What year are we freaking living in, people? What year are we living in? And what country are we living in? Sorry if I'm kind of ranting tonight. I'm not really intending to, but the topic tonight I know is just going to get me fired up. And I guess I'm already gearing up for it. But you know, it's stupidity. It's stupidity that pisses me off. It's idiocy that really gets my goat. It's people like that are flat out hypocrites that can't handle themselves. So they have to regulate what other people do because they can't take it, because they can't take personal responsibility for themselves. What a ridiculous attitude for people to have. I am so tired of people doing this. I am so tired of people that want to legislate and abdicate justify other people having to follow their rules because they can't handle being responsible for themselves. So they have to rule over other people. They have to take lordship over what other people do and say to protect themselves, instead of just turning around and walking away, or instead of averting your eyes, instead of looking at somebody's camel toe. This is ridiculous. The climate-driven rise and fall of sea level during the past million years matches up with valleys and ridges on the seafloor, suggesting ice ages influence underwater volcanic eruptions, At least this is according to two studies that have revealed this information. And because volcanic chains suture some 37,000 miles of ocean floor, the eruptions could pump out enough carbon dioxide gas to shift planetary temperatures. A quote from the authors of the study: "Surprisingly, the deep seafloor matters in the long-term climate cycle." How is this surprising? Duh! "Surprisingly, the deep seafloor matters in the long-term climate cycle," said Maya Tolstoy, a lead author of one of the studies and a marine geophysicist at the Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory in Palisades, New York. Both studies suggest that there could be a complex feedback loop among ice ages, sea level changes, and these bursts of volcanic activity. For instance, if volcanoes pick up their pace during an ice age, their carbon dioxide gas could warm the earth and shrink the ice sheets. Underwater volcanoes pump carbon dioxide into the ocean, just as their terrestrial cousins add climate-altering gases to the atmosphere. However, no one knows how much gas would escape into the atmosphere from the oceans. Well, you know, everything is interconnected. Everything here on planet Earth is interconnected, and that includes the plant life. I mean, not too long ago, I gave the news that was released about plants having a form of the internet, that they're connected to each other almost on a global scale through the fungi that are in the ground, that they use this as a means to communicate with one another. Everything is interconnected together. It's been this way, well, all along, right? It's what planet Earth does. The ecosystem is the entire ecosystem, not just some salt flats in Utah and not just some swamp in Louisiana. It's everything. Everything is connected together. But this falls into the whole global warming thing. It really does. It falls right into it. And, you know, I gave these out not too long ago, and I wanted to give them out again because this is really important for people to understand when it comes to the global warming crowd. They will argue and they will fight saying that they're right, but they're wrong. In the year 1970, they said, "We'll be in an ice age by the year 2000. In 1976, they said, "Global cooling will cause a world war by the year 2000. In 1989, they said global warming and rising sea levels will wipe entire nations off the map by the year 2000. What year are we in? Have any of these things happened? In the year 1990, they said we'll have 5 to 10 years to save the rainforest. We still have the rainforests. In the year 2000, they said snow will soon be a thing of the past, and yet we've been having Snowmageddon like crazy this year. In 2007, they said global warming will cause fewer hurricanes. But then in 2012, they said global warming will cause more hurricanes. In 2008, they said the Arctic will be ice-free by 2013. There's still ice there. They don't know what they're talking about. They're making wild guesses and fudging the data for the idea that, okay, well, we'll do this and we'll enact the different carbon taxes and make people think about, oh, what's your carbon footprint? What's your carbon footprint? You need to pay this much money so that you can make up for the carbon footprint that you're enacting. It's crap. It's all crap. Don't think that these people have the idea that they're trying to help the planet. By and large, they are not. There are some, yes, that are. Don't get me wrong. But by and large, it's corporations that are looking to make a quick buck. It's what it's all about. They're not out to save the planet. The planet doesn't need to be saved. The planet's going to be fine. It's people that need to be saved. And yet you still have places like Monsanto. You still have companies like Monsanto that are just destroying everything around. You have all of the other crap that's going on, that the chemtrails, the geoengineering that's going on. All of this stuff is going on. And yet me driving an SUV is causing the problem, or cows farting are causing the problem. It's ridiculous. It all is. Okay, so I'm going to take a break here, guys. I'm going to try to get my mind focused on the topic of the evening, and hopefully you guys are going to learn some things that you have not known before and maybe come to a deeper understanding of the arguments that are being made on both sides about the gay agenda and all of the things that are surrounding it. I hope you stick around. It's going to be worth it. We'll be back in just a few minutes after these messages.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of latenightinthemidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of latenightinthemidlands.com and help us help you.
Open Eyes looks for the truth in all things, no matter where it may lead. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters are bringing to this world, or aliens and UFOs, no subject is taboo or off-limits. Listen to Open Eyes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the L&M Network at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
Somehow, part of the package of being a living, thinking being is that you get a universe inside of you. You know, you get a galaxy-sized object inside you that you can access. And there are the mountains, the rivers, the jungles, the dynastic families, the ruins, the planets, the works of art, the poetry, the sciences, the magics of millions upon millions upon millions of worlds. And this is apparently who we each are. We're a little bit of eternity sticking into three-dimensional space and for some reason occupying time in a monkey body. But when you turn your eyes then inward, you discover the birthright, the existential facts out of which this particular existence emerged. In the past 100 years, as these super technologies have been developed in the West, the smashing of atoms, the invention of radio, television, computers, immunology, so forth and so on, data has been arriving about the practices of Aboriginal cultures all over the planet, that they dissolve ordinary realities, ordinary cultural values, through an interaction, a symbiosis, a relationship to local plants that perturb brain chemistry. And in this domain of perturbed brain chemistry, the cultural operating system is wiped clean. And something older, even for these people, something older, more vitalistic, more in touch with the animal soul, replaces it, replaces the cultural operating system. Something not determined by history and geography, but something writ in the language of the flesh itself. This is who you are. This is true nakedness. You are not naked when you take off your clothes. You still wear your religious assumptions, your prejudices, your fears, your illusions, your delusions. When you shed the cultural operating system, then essentially you stand naked before the inspection of your own psyche. Desmond Morris called it the naked ape. And it's from that position, a position outside the cultural operating system, that we can begin to ask real questions about what does it mean to be human? what kind of circumstance are we caught in, and what kind of structures, if any, can we put in place to assuage the pain and accentuate the glory and the wonder that lurks waiting for us in this very narrow slice of time between the birth canal and the yawning grave.
That's a little bit of wise words there from the late, great Terence McKenna. I was a big fan of his. I still am. I still listen to a lot of stuff that he had to say. I don't maybe necessarily agree with everything that he had to put forward, but you got to admit, the man could make you think. The man could really put forward some ideas that are really outside of the norm, that are really stepped away from what people normally think of as being our lives, as what people think of being our emotions, our capability of understanding what it is to be a human being. We have been lied to so many times throughout all of our history about who we are, what we are, where we came from, where we're going, what it's all about. We have so many people that are out there that have their own agendas that they have put forward as being the law, their own agendas that they've put forward as being the problems with society. Remember what I said earlier about the lawmaker trying to put forward the idea that how a person dresses somehow impacts you as a person. You know, the person who is walking down the street wearing clothing that you may not agree with, how is that hurting you? How is that affecting you? It's not. It's their life. It's their business. It's what they do. And they're the ones that are either going to go through their lives paying the price for what they do or not. It's not up to you. It's up to them. If they're not harming someone else, then where's the harm? You see, if they're not harming someone else, then what business of it is it of yours what they're doing? That touches on tonight's topic, doesn't it? So before I get into the main topic, there are a few things that I want to speak about that I ran across. The reason I'm bringing it up is because I see and I hear a lot of people talking trash about gay people, be they male, female, or other, and point out religious reasonings for these hatreds to be there. The problem is that the main religions that are guilty of some serious heinous actions are the same ones that are the most accusatory towards gay people. And I'm speaking especially of the Abrahamic religions, which are Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. And it really is all of these heinous actions that they themselves do are legitimately justified and allowed by the religious texts that they follow. One article that I ran across talks about how pedophilia is the cornerstone of Islam. In fact, in 2012, Pentagon lawyers, at the request of the Obama administration, drafted an army manual which forbade any criticism of child molestation by troops serving in Muslim countries. The 75-page handbook stated that troops should avoid making derogatory comments about the Taliban, advocating women's rights, any criticism of pedophilia, directing any criticism towards Afghans, mentioning homosexuality and homosexual conduct, or anything related to Islam. And this is according to Judicial Watch. the facts are, in as far as the Islam attitude towards this type of thing, is based on the events that happened during Muhammad's life. So Muhammad married his bride, Aisha, at the age of 6, but he reportedly waited until she was 9 to deflower her. In 2011, Muslim cleric Dr. Salih bin Fawzan tried to rationalize Muhammad's criminal behavior in the following rather laughable text. The story of the Prophet's marriage to Aisha reveals to us aspects like the Prophet's conduct with Aisha, and more importantly, the aspect regarding the relationship between the husband and wife, to show how one should treat his wife, just as the Prophet did with Aisha. We know that Aisha's mother went to take her down from the swing that she was playing on to fix her hair and prepare her for the Prophet so that he could enter her or have sex with her. And she did that all on the same day. So you see, she was playing with her fellow playmates, even though her day of consummation was that very same day. And all that they did was to fix her up for the Prophet so that he could have sex with her. Now what do we see when the Prophet married Aisha? Did he go to her and say, "Okay, that's it, you're married, you're now a grown-up, you're supposed to be mature, you need to do this and that, you need to forget about your toys and your little friends, you are now a wife of a man, you have to see to my needs, and that's it." No, the Prophet allowed her to continue playing with her toy dolls, and indeed the Prophet even sometimes gave her such things to play with. Now, this same guy later issued a fatwa saying that there should be no minimum age requirement for girls to get married. And in the fatwa, he said, even if they are in the cradle. And simply that the only limitation are that they are capable of being placed beneath and bearing the weight of a man. So because of this, a lot of the so-called moderate Muslim countries don't have a minimum age requirement for marriage. And these include things like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, and Yemen, which, funnily enough, I talked about earlier in the news section of the show. Now, a lot of Christians and Jews will bash Muslims because of the things that Muhammad did and say, oh, well, there you go. All of Islam is set as having pedophilia as its cornerstone, just like this article here that I ran across tried to state. The problem is that both Judaism and Christianity have the same type of roots with them as well. Most people try to gloss over those facts, but it really is the truth. In Numbers 31, it speaks about how there was a large battle that took place, and the Jews captured women and children and brought them back to the Israeli encampments. And so Moses and the priest Eleazar went to meet with these people, and Moses got mad with all the military people that had returned from the battle. And this is a quote from the scriptures. "Why have you let all the women live?" he demanded. "These are the very ones who followed Balaam's advice and caused the people of Israel to rebel against the Lord at Mount Peor. They are the ones who caused the plague to strike the Lord's people. Now kill all the boys and all of the women who have slept with a man. Only the young girls who are virgins may live. Those you may keep for themselves, for yourselves." So Moses and his army basically killed all the boys, including any infants, and just let the little girls live. Anyone who was still a virgin. And now you know what all of that was about. It wasn't just to have them be servants in their household. You know what all that was about, right? I shouldn't have to say it. But the fact is that according to the Talmudic teachings regarding this stuff, which a lot of, well, in fact, almost all exclusively Jews still follow today, and most Christian theology is based on things that are in the Talmud. According to it, the people who were available for intercourse was anybody over 3 years and 1 day of age. So if you were a child who was 1 year or 3 years old and a day, you were available to have sex with. If you were three on the dot or younger, at that point you were too young. Anything can be justified when you really want it to be. And when you want to do evil things, you can find the reasons and the justifications to do so. Hatred is going to do as hatred is going to do. I definitely stand against hatred, especially when it's based on hypocrisy as a means of doing it, basically. And that's what we see happening all around. I mean, you see Jews and Christians hating Muslims because, oh, well, they're based on a pedophilic idealism. And yet their same religions have it in their backgrounds as well. And so the Muslims start hating them in return, and everybody's hating everybody else. And nobody's understanding that all of this stuff can be justified by all of their scriptures, and it all just gets to be one big mess, and the rest of us are all trapped in the middle of it. So there's so much hatred out there in regards to the gays and the homosexuals and the queers and so on and so forth. There is so much anger, vitriol, hatred that gets spread around when it comes to people who are different in any way. And unfortunately, gays get it a lot. And now let me clarify, when I'm just saying gays, I'm just meaning it as kind of a blanket word. I'm just not wanting to say the whole gay, lesbian, transvestite, blah, 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 all in all, you know. When I'm saying gay, I'm just giving it as a blanket statement. Hopefully you guys will know what I mean. But, you know, they use these different scriptures as a basis of hatred. They use all of it as the basis of hatred. And that's what I stand up against. I can't stand to see it. I really can't. Especially when there's no leg for them to use, you know? So that brings me to the topic of the agenda against people that are different. Especially in relation to being gay, but in regards to anything at all, really.
Hi, honey. What's wrong?
They're trying to make gay marriage legal.
Oh, my God. What's going to happen to our marriage?
I don't know.
But I don't want to get a divorce or marry a woman.
I know. Why do these gays want to destroy our civilization?
I'm so scared. Mommy, Daddy, if gay people are allowed to get married, will you still love me?
Let's just hope it doesn't come to that. Help keep straight couples from getting divorced and hating their children. Oppose gay marriage.
Paid for by the coalition of people whose lives are ruined whenever other people are treated equally.
So that's a... That's from a video that I found on YouTube, a group called Non-Random Nonsense, and they're absolutely right. I mean, that is the way that people that stand out against this issue sound a lot of times. It's really that inane. Now, gay marriage, the topic, has been on the forefront of the media for a while. Of course. And it just keeps getting worse and more ridiculous. I mean, people are always arguing the idea that, that gays being able to marry each other is because it will destroy the sanctity of the family structure. They say that it eliminates the holiness of marriage. And yet marriage in the United States, for instance, is a joke. Not many people out there take marriage seriously at all. There's nothing holy about it. If there ever was, it certainly hasn't been for a while, and it was eradicated by the hypocritical people that call out that marriage is sacred. I mean, the divorce rate in the United States is 50%. Those are our heterosexual numbers, by the way, since it's only hetero couples that have been allowed to get married, except in a few limited areas and only in the most recent of days. 50% divorce rate. I have been to many, many churches over the years. I have seen people and I have known people that say the words, "I'm against gay marriage because it destroys the family structure," or "I'm against it because marriage is between one man and one woman." And yet these people are divorced. They're married time and time again. They're single with children from multiple men, and the gays are destroying the family? I mean, what utter tripe. The hypocrisy is dumbfounding to me. I mean, I have news out there for people that can't stand the gays and are against gay marriage. It looks like the Supreme Court is actually lined up to allow it by the end of this year. And I heard an argument not long ago that I actually really support this argument with it. The people that are so vehemently against gay marriage are the same type of people that in the 40s, 50s, and 60s were calling out and crying out against black people marrying white people. And they were trying to use the exact same kind of justifications to argue it. It's the same difference. It just drives me nuts, you know? Now, listen, guys, I'm not gay. I don't have a dog in the fight, I guess you could say. I mean, I'm happily married with kids. I've never been gay. I've never had a gay encounters or anything along those lines. I have no latent homosexual type of thinking or anything along those lines. I'm just a person who is looking to try to get the truth out about what people are doing on this issue, because I know the truth with it. Some of the thinking that goes into what happens with people that are different is tripe. It's dumbfounding in its utter stupidity.
Then during lunch, Ralph showed him some pornographic pictures. Jimmy knew he shouldn't be interested, but, well, he was curious. What Jimmy didn't know was that Ralph was sick, a sickness that was not visible like smallpox, but no less dangerous and contagious, a sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a homosexual, a person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex. But by now, Jimmy felt a fondness for Ralph, and they continued to go places together. Ralph was generous and took Jimmy many interesting places and did many nice things for him. He bought presents and even gave him money, but payments were expected in return. But all homosexuals are not passive. Some resort to violence, as in the case of Mike Merrick. In the heat of competition, no one noticed the man who sat and watched. And when the game broke up and the others left, Mike decided to stay and practice a little longer. When they finished, the stranger told him he'd make a fine player someday if he got lots of practice. The companionship, the praise, the friendly attitude dispelled any misgivings Mike might have had about going with a stranger. He probably never realized until too late that he was riding in the shadow of death. But sometime that evening, Mike Merrick traded his life for a newspaper headline. One never knows when the homosexual is about. He may appear normal, and it may be too late when you discover he is mentally ill. So keep with your group, and don't go off alone with strangers unless you have the permission of your parent or teacher.
That's the attitude that is so prevalent in the anti-gay agenda. That's the attitude that is so there. Oh, homosexuality is contagious. Don't get near the homosexuals. You're going to catch it. You're going to be a homosexual yourself. It's a virus. You're going to catch it. You know, stupidity is a virus too. That has been found that a lot of human beings, what is it? 90% of the population of the planet is infected with a stupidity virus that makes people dumb. I'm wondering if the people that fight against it so hard like this may actually be impacted by this virus. It really makes me wonder. But the exact same people that have that kind of attitude, it's contagious. You're gonna catch it. It can be changed. If you're homosexual, you can be changed. You can pray the gay away. What tripe. What utter hypocrisy. What bullcrap. You can't pray the gay away. It doesn't happen. That has been proven over and over again. Oh, watch out for the homosexuals. You're going to die. That's what that propaganda film flat out said. Oh, he didn't realize that he was writing in the shadow of death. The freaking shadow. What? What drama? Oh my God. Anyways, okay, so listen, the same type of people that put forward this kind of stuff, the vitriol about it all, are the same type of people that have the same attitude as this preacher right here did. I'm going to play this audio for you.
Oh, your little son starts to act a little girlish when he's 4 years old, and instead of squashing that like a cockroach and saying, man up, son, get that dress off you and get outside and dig a ditch, because that's what boys do. You get out the camera and you start taking pictures of Johnny acting like a female, and then you upload it to YouTube and everybody laughs about it, and next thing you know, this kid is acting out childhood fantasies that should have been squashed. Can I make it any clearer? Dads, the second you see your son dropping the limp wrist, you rock over there and crack that wrist. Man up. Give him a good punch. Okay? You're not going to act like that. You were made by God to be a male, and you're going to be a male. And when your daughter starts acting too butch, you rein her in. And you say, oh no. Oh no, sweetheart. You can play sports. Play them. Play them to the glory of God. But sometimes you're going to act like a girl and walk like a girl and talk like a girl and smell like a girl. And that means you're going to be beautiful. You're going to be attractive. You're going to dress yourself up. You say, can I take charge like that as a parent? Yeah, you can. You're authorized. I just gave you a special dispensation this morning to do that.
Amen. Praise Jesus. He's speaking the truth. Amen. Ha 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 ha. Let's all laugh while we beat the crap out of our kids for being gay. Ha 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 ha. Funny, funny, funny. You're really showing the Christian attitude there, aren't you, buddy boy? You're really showing what exactly Christ had to say about gay people. You know, he said not one word about them, but he had a hell of a lot to say about the Pharisees and the scribes, didn't he? He had a hell of a lot to say about the people that acted exactly like this. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, he is so funny. Listen to him. He's speaking the words of the Lord. He's speaking the words of Christ Jesus, who got up on the cross and forgave everybody of their sins. He washed me clean. He washed me clean. The Holy Spirit is within me, and he's speaking through me to tell you that you need to beat your children. He's speaking through me. He's giving you special dispensation through me to beat your kids, to tell your girls exactly how they're supposed to be girls. Oh, they have to dress in the exact right way. They have to look in the exact right way. They have to smell pretty. They have to smile beautifully while obeying every single word that you have to say, or beat the crap out of them otherwise. Oh my Lord God, save me from your people, I'm telling you. Let me get into some of the major issues with the anti-gay agenda here. I'm going to be speaking primarily in relation to Christianity, only because it's the one that I know the best, because I have such a deep background in it. But others are going to end up getting included as well, I'm sure. So one of the main arguments against homosexuals is due to the verses in Leviticus that I'm sure that you've heard before, if you've paid any attention to the issue at all. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. Those were from Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20. Now, something that I find very interesting is the church's schizophrenic attitude regarding the law. When they are asked why they don't observe the commandment to obey the Sabbath or to keep the Sabbath, obey, you know, observe it, which was a law that was written in stone by God, right, on the Ten Commandments, or why they don't obey the biblical kosher requirements, you know, the kosher diet that Jews follow, which forbids the eating of bacon, pork chops, pork roasts, sausages, clams, oysters, lobsters, crabs, or even rare beef. Or why they don't honor the Passover as Jesus commanded, and as Paul even commanded. Most of the Christians say that the law is done away with, and that we're not under that kind of bondage anymore. However, when it comes to the subject of homosexuality, suddenly that Levitical law is brought into play. Oh, God didn't do away with that particular law. God didn't do away with that particular quote unquote abomination. And I'm going to go into that word here in a few minutes as well. This is bias. Okay. This is a bias that is inflicted on the scriptures by so-called, cafeteria Christians, the one who will go there and pick and choose whatever it is that they want to eat. Oh, this tastes good. Oh, this one looks fine. I'm going to use this one. I'm not going to do that one though. That one, no, that one doesn't suit my style. I don't care for that one too much. We'll skip that one. But oh, this one we'll take. I mean, they pick and choose. They cherry pick, right? Now, one of the largest arguments against gay marriage has been that it is, well, against the tradition of one man and one woman. Well, as far as traditions are concerned, let me hit you with some biblical text regarding traditions. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? Thus have you made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold traditions of men. It says in Colossians 2:8 to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I've even heard the argument from people saying, well, it may not explicitly command anything against homosexuality, but I feel that the Holy Spirit is telling me that homosexuality is an evil thing. I feel it in my spirit. I just know that that's what God thinks. Not only is that view subjective, but it also violates God's words in Deuteronomy 4:2, which says, "You shall not add unto the words of which I command you, neither diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." In other words, don't add to or take away from the word of God. And when you're saying, oh, well, the Holy Spirit tells me that this is what is right, you're adding words to God. You're adding words to what he commanded. I mean, that is a pharisaical type of thing to do. The Pharisees did exactly that same thing. They came up with tradition after tradition, doctrine after doctrine, and were what Christ spoke about to them when he said, "You den of vipers, you refuse the people the gates of heaven because you don't enter, and you don't allow them to enter it either." I mean, I'll just put it to you this way. If God has not declared that something is a sin, how can you declare that something is a sin? People try to say that the Leviticus verses are claiming that homosexuality is an abomination. They use this word all the time. It's an abomination. This is actually wrong. It is misleading and it is misreading. It's misinterpreting the words that are there. Context and proper translation are everything, you see, when it comes to anything that deals with the scriptures. You have got to get the right context and the right translations for those contexts to every single verse, or you are doing the wrong thing. You are following a different God than what is shown to you biblically. You are following a different agenda. You are following a different path. That's idol worship, right? Which is supposedly not something that you're supposed to do, right? Well, when you do something, when you are worshiping something and you don't know and understand every single thing about it, including every bit of historical context and word context, you're no longer worshiping what you think you are. You're worshiping something of your own creation. It's your own idol that you've created in your mind and in your spirit. That's what you're following, not what is actually the truth there. Let me put it to you this way. Leviticus 18:22 says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Leviticus 20:13 says, "If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination." Now note those words there, "as" and "also." Those are inclusive words. Those words mean to do something and then to do it again in the same way. Again. It's an inclusive. You're going to do this as well as something else. Christians have invented a doctrine that is anti-gay by trying to apply modern English ways of speaking and reasoning to old English speech and the way that the words are structured together. So I'll give you an example. In Acts, in the book of Acts, the phrase in there, "to fetch a compass," is used. Now, for you and me here in modern times, if someone says "to fetch a compass" or "go fetch a compass," then okay, well, we're going to go and get something that's going to lead us in a direction. We can point north and there we go, right? Well, that's actually not what the Bible meant. The Bible actually meant to fetch a compass, meaning to travel in a circuit, to go in a circle. Do you see how not knowing the context of how the wordings are used can mean a completely different thing than what you thought it meant? They're still using English words to fetch a compass, but to us here and now, it means to go get something that is going to lead you in a direction because it points north, right? It's an item that you can hold in your hand and leads you in a direction. However, back then, in the time that everything was written, in the time that the book of Acts was written, the words to fetch a compass meant go walk in a circle. Context. I'll put it to you this way. Only a person who is a heterosexual male lies with a woman. Only a heterosexual man is able to also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman in the same manner that he lays with a woman. The church has mistranslated and misappropriated the words that are actually being used. A true homosexual does not lie with women. He has no desire to, unless he's going through some kind of weird experimental portion of his life, or is forced into it by peer pressure or religious pressure, parent pressure. In the gay community, it is very well known that heterosexual men will come to the homosexual community in order to have sex with other men, just for the sake of sexual gratification. Many of these guys are married and have children. They're not homosexuals, but due to their lusting, often because of being lonely or dissatisfied in their relationships, many heterosexual men do not believe that a brief sexual encounter with another guy is considered to be adultery, because adultery is with the opposite sex, at least according to their reasoning of things. Same gender sexual activity by heterosexual men is not only very real, but is very common. And it's these activities that the verses in Leviticus are referring to. I'll give you another context. In Romans 1:27, it says that these kind of men do these things because they burn in their lust. They burn to the point that they don't care who they're with as long as they have been satisfied or gratified. It's not a gay or straight thing. In other words, it's just pure lust. It's just there for them to get that release. Things like that happen actually really frequently in the military. And if you look at prisons, it's really prevalent in prisons. You know, men will have sex with other men because there's no women around. That doesn't mean that they're homosexual. That means that they're doing that just to gratify their lusts. It's even prevalent in the Middle East where women are considered to be property and they're kind of hidden away from everything. The heterosexual men there will basically get with each other just because they can. And they do it to satisfy these lustful needs. I mean, we're not talking about people who from a very young age know that they're homosexual. That's not what this is. The people who know almost from the get-go that they're not attracted to people of the opposite sex. They're for all intents and purposes only attracted to those of the same sex. They were born that way. Most homosexuals will admit that there was no homosexual influence in their younger lives, and that nobody could really say that there was an environmental factor to it. It just was there. You know, there was nothing like an inattentive or overbearing parents involved that could have caused it. I mean, if it was that case, hell, half the world would be gay. Because I know I had some very overbearing parents. I know a lot of people out there that have either ones that don't pay any attention at all or pay way too much attention to their kids. And yet they turn out heterosexual. These verses, again, are talking about grown men who are overtly heterosexual, and they are attracted to women, and yet they are seeking sexual pleasure in any way that they can get it, which in this case would be with other men. Again, context is key with all of this stuff. It is everything with all of this stuff. I mean, think about who these scriptures were written for. The fact of the guys, you know, heterosexual males, for instance, going to homosexual males just for the sexual gratification was really well known. It was a really common practice during the ancient Roman and Greek days. And that's who Paul was writing to in that Romans verse that I gave just a bit ago. I mean, long before modern scholars wrongfully applied the term sodomy to homosexual sex, it was widely referred to as the Greek position. I mean, none of this has anything to do with people who are mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and physically attracted only to the same gender in the same way that others are attracted to those of the opposite gender. It's lust. It's not natural attraction in this case. So guys, I need to take a break here real quick. When we come back, I'm going to get more into the context of the wording of things. And I'm going to really delve into what the Bible really says about all of this stuff, because it does have a lot to say about what's going on with this subject, a lot to say about it all. So I'm going to get into all of that after I come back from the break. Stick around. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Have you been looking for answers? Have you been seeking the truth but can't seem to find it? Late Night in the Midlands has the answers for you. Whether you are interested in the paranormal, aliens and UFOs, alternative health information, or just a little hope and inspiration, we have a show for you. Late Night in the Midlands, Open Eyes, The Red Pill Reality Show, The Secret Teachings, Paranormal Perceptions, and The Turning of the Wheel. All here on the L&M Network for you to listen to at any time that you want. Everything is free to listen to, and though it is not required, we are listener supported, and all donations are deeply appreciated. You will not find shows like these in the mainstream media. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com to listen. The L&M Network, where the truth has no fear.
They went into the homes now, the powers that be, and told us that you cannot discipline your children anymore. And if you discipline your children, you were going to jail. Then they went into the public schools and took discipline out of there. So when we acted up in there, they put our boys into something called special ed classes. And as you know, those special ed classes are nothing but holding cells until they can go to the state prison. if we can have them convicted for a felony, then once they get out of prison, they cannot get a job because of that. And then if they happen to eke out and find a job, then they have to pay taxes on a job, yet they cannot vote. I call that taxation without representation. They did a grand thing when they took that discipline away from us, because when they made our parents afraid to discipline the children, then what happened? We found out that the teachers were afraid of the principals were scared of the superintendents, superintendent was scared of the school board was scared of the parents, parents were scared of the children, and the children ain't scared of nobody.
Stuff like that, it's it really clears the spirit a little bit, you know, kind of resets things a little bit, and I need to listen to pretty stuff like that when I get onto these long topics like this that are very, well, hot buttons. I know that they are a hot topic. I know that they are, well, something that a lot of people take offense at. And again, I'm not meaning to really cause offense with any of this. It's a matter of finding the truth of things. It's a matter of trying to step forward with some logic and reason to this subject, because it's something that we have basically been trying to get out from underneath of for so long. Guys, there really is so much hatred in this world right now. Everything is out to divide us. And there's really no need for it, especially in regards to this topic, because it's all a matter of mistranslations and confusions that are causing the issues and is acting as a justification for, well, people that have their own agendas and ideas that they feel they want to have on everybody else. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about the Leviticus verses, the ones in 18 and 20. I want to talk a little bit about the wording and the context in it, because again, this is one of the main focal points that people use as the anti-gay rhetoric that goes on. And the more people that know and understand the truth of this, the more we can maybe get out from underneath this in the future. I mean, like I said, look, I mean, gay marriage is probably going to be a reality by the end of this year, whether you want it to be or not, and whether people really like it or not, it's going to be the law of the land. They've already basically come forward and said, yeah, it's going to happen whether you guys like it or not. So you're going to have to deal with it. People out there that have these anti-gay ideals, you're going to have to deal with it or just crash the system, essentially. It's going to come down to one of those two things. So let's see what we can do to try to adjust things before it comes to that point, right? That's what I'm trying to do here with this topic tonight. So note something important in the Leviticus verses. The scripture does not say, if a man also lieth with mankind as he would lie with a woman, nor does it say, if a man also lies with mankind as one lies with a woman. Those are totally different words and concepts. They're a different context than what the scripture is actually saying. And if the scriptures had used either one of those phrases, then there would really be no question that it refers to any type of homosexual activity or homosexuality. Because if those words were there, then the verse would mean in the same way that a man might lie with a woman if he were to lie with a woman. But in fact, it says also, and as he lieth with a woman, which clearly refers to a heterosexual who has been with a woman, but has left the woman for a man, exactly as what was described by Paul in the first chapter of Romans. Notice also that the sex laws that are talked about around these two verses in particular, there are other sex laws that are there in the Leviticus verses. Only this law goes out of its way to say, as with a woman. So for example, the scripture doesn't say, thou shalt not lie with thy father as with a woman, or thou shalt not lie with a beast as with a woman. It doesn't have to. It was known exactly what was meant by thou shalt not lie with thy father and thou shalt not lie with a beast. It's referring to the sex act. So we can clearly see that the law there going out of its way to say also, and as he lieth with a woman in these verses, is specifically referring to heterosexual men, men who lie with women, who then betray their natural desire for women, for whatever reason, to also go lie with other men. This would be adultery, essentially, since a man has no business sleeping with a woman in the first place, unless he were married to her. And the same is in this case with the man as well. So you see, it's about the context that's there. They made sure to state very emphatically that it was something different than just straight up having sex with a guy. There's this other inclusion that's there with it. It's referencing something, you see? Now, some people say that the verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, by saying the word effeminate, is also referring to homosexual people. However, in the original translation, in the original Greek of that section, the word is not effeminate, it's malakoi. And here's the problem. Malakoi does not mean effeminate as that word is used in our English today. It means a soft person. A more accurate translation of the word would be hedonistic, or someone who is only out for sensual pleasures, only out to satisfy themselves or gratify themselves. Like someone who, in that time period, would have been someone who refused their duties as a citizen, or been lazy, or engaged in decadence, having a lack of courage. That's what that word originally means. That's the context that it has. In the time of Paul's writing the 1 Corinthians there, effeminacy did not mean a man who swished when he walked, or desired sex with men, or was a cross-dresser, or anything along those lines. First century Romans and Greeks didn't think of effeminacy in terms of a homosexual trait. In that culture, again, context here, people, in that culture, any man who was more interested in pleasure than in his duty was considered to be an effeminate person. So one example I can give is Pompeius Magnus was called Malis, also Malakoi. You know, the Malis is sort of a short form of Malakoi. So he was called that by his detractors in the Senate, because he would rather spend time with his wife Julia than conduct his duties as a senator. There's nothing in the original Greek which at all infers that the word referred to men who only have sex with other men. In fact, men who walk around like guys who are with the WWE and even football players and that kind of thing, that are all about giving themselves pleasure and oh, look at me and all that kind of stuff. Those would actually be considered to be malakoi in those times. So another phrase that people use is when the Bible says, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. The actual word that was used by Paul in the Greek original letters is the word arsenkoatai. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I'm not an original Greek speaker, so pardon me. But the word is actually a vulgar slang, which actually was really rarely written down during that time period. It's because it was two words that were combined together. One of the words is koatai, which is the equivalent of the modern English word, effer. The word is actually used in the masculine, which it indicates that the person who is being referred to is a male, but there's nothing in the word or the phrasing which indicates that it is a male who is engaging in sexual activity with another male. It's actually possible, given the context of the paragraph, that it refers to some sort of sexual impropriety. It's kind of hard to tell. It's not really that clear. But there are hundreds of writings that are in Greek from this time period that we know of that do refer to homosexual activity using many terms other than that word, arsenkoatai. If Paul had intended to refer to homosexuality in general, he could have chosen from one of many, many other words that were commonly used during that time period and would have been easily understood by anybody who read it. But he didn't. He used this other word. He wouldn't have had to have resorted to an ambiguous compound word, which people would not really even come to understand as being in the context of homosexual behavior. There's also a lot of writings from others during that time period that are from early Christian religious leaders who never used that word in their discussions either of same-sex relations. These people do talk about pederasty and like going to male temple prostitutes, as well as the more general street prostitutes. But they don't use the word arsenkoatai in this context. They use other words that are specifically referring to those type of activities. In other uses of the word in other writings from that time period, the word is used to describe someone who exploits other people sexually. In other words, like a gigolo or a rapist or one who pimps, you know, like a pimp is basically what it would be referring to. Or people who would sexually abuse slaves and the lower classes. But it was not limited only to male-to-male homosexual activities. It was never specifically about that. I mean, I'm gonna refer to a verse here or a section of scripture here that I think really needs to be borne in mind when it comes to people dealing with speaking out against gays and so on and so forth. The you have no excuse when you pass judgment on someone else, for whenever you judge another, you're condemning yourself, because by passing judgment, you do the same things. We know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them, and yet by doing so you do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? That's Romans 2, verses 1 through 4. I'm willing to bet that if you are a person who stands against gays because of the verses in Leviticus, that you are not also following the rules that are set forth within Leviticus yourself. I mean, I'll tell you that under the purity code that's found in Leviticus, it is all or nothing. It's an all or nothing deal. It's not a menu that you get to cherry pick the things that you want to follow or not follow. It's not a matter of that cafeteria Christianity. It's either all or nothing. The particular verses there in Leviticus also don't say that they were detestable acts. And it really doesn't even say that they were abominations either, which is the other common mistranslation for the Hebrew, which is there. It's the word toeva. That's the original Hebrew word that's used in the Leviticus passages. The section that this Hebrew scripture is taken from deals with certain very specific practices of the pagan peoples that surrounded those ancient Israelites, specifically referring to the Canaanites and the Egyptians. Under certain religious practices by them, it was acceptable and it was proper for a daughter or a son to marry a parent or a sibling. They would do this because they were considered to be of a specially pure blood, which others did not carry in their veins. So they did this in order to carry things forward with the purity of the blood. In addition, certain fertility rites were associated with certain cults in which one had sex with male and female priests of the cult as well as animals. So the section of the purity code in Leviticus is dealing with these practices, and it's basically saying that a Jew who is a good little Jew would not go down to the local temple, the local pagan temple, and engage in sexual activity with the male or female priests, nor was he to have sex with close family members or anything along those lines in an attempt to emulate what they saw the Egyptian and Canaanite upper classes doing. These acts were considered to be toeva, or ritually impure. If someone did a toeva act, they could be killed if they did not repent and undergo a really arduous purification process. The acts that were considered to be morally wrong under any and all circumstances were called zima. So, for example, murder is zima. Blasphemy is zima. That type of thing. So there's a distinction between something that is a ritual impurity or something that would make you ritually impure and therefore unfit, and those acts which were considered to be, well, essentially capital crimes. They were moral acts in any way, shape, and form. The fact is that there really are very serious issues with what's being stated as facts. So what we see happening is a lot of Christian ministers who are out there, the preachers and the priests who are out there trying to claim that these things are what God spoke, and they're using the logical fallacy that's known as historian's fallacy, in which they ascribe a modern definition onto a word or phrase instead of the definition that was actually used at the time that the writings were done. They also cite a phrase out of its a proper context, and they don't mention the historical context to all of it. In other words, they'll just pull out that one thing and they'll just say, well, this was called an abomination, even though it was not actually that word. And they'll try to say that that is it and that is all. But they don't ever give the actual historic things that are involved with it. And finally, they ignore that context, and then they deliberately or out of ignorance try to claim that this particular scripture applies to any and all peoples every single where, when in fact it does not. Now, you might disagree with me or with the many religious scholars through the years who have discussed these different things, but don't claim that people are being deceived until you've actually done the research for yourself and come to the understanding of all of the context regarding all of this stuff. In other words, don't just listen to what your preacher says about, oh, gays are bad and blah, 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 and then turn around and spew that out as your own truth. Do the research for yourself and find out whether or not what I'm saying here is the actual truth. Because if you don't, you are taking it on as an idol worship. You're taking it on as something that was not there. It's not in the scriptures. It's context. These things were for a very specific set of people in a very specific place and at a very specific time. Leviticus was a set of rules that were used by the Levite priests to keep themselves ritually pure. They had to keep themselves pure because to do otherwise would profane the Holy of Holies and cause their destruction. So they had to maintain themselves under a far different standard than what the common people did. What applied to the common masses did not apply to them. They had to have a higher set of standards that they had to live by. Do you understand? It's context. In other words, there was the fact of being the ritually impure and just being tainted. I mean, the Bible contains 114 different things that it has been mistranslated to say abominations. And only one of those is now being misused as a reason to breed division and hatred. 113 of them have been forgotten and abandoned. But only that one is still being used today. The word abomination is a tool of bigotry. It the scriptures contain Toeva and Zema acts, but there's no clear abominations. People who wrongly translate these things need to be reminded of what the original texts are. Toeva acts are ritually impure. They existed to refine the Levites' culture and their identity. These acts were what included eating pork and same-sex relations and wearing mixed fabrics and shaving their beard and that sort of thing. Zema acts are what are morally unacceptable. And these things exist right now to include murder and adultery and stealing and all of that stuff. All of those things are Zema acts. And if it's a Toeva act, it referred only to the things that were regarding the Levite priests. I mean, sometimes, listen, guys, this is a sad statement, but it is the truth. Sometimes the nicest people that you're ever going to meet are covered in tattoos and piercings, while the most judgmental people go to church every Sunday. I ran across that the other day, and I have to agree. Another one, Shannon L. Alder, says, I would rather spend every Sunday of my life hanging off of a cliff to rescue someone than to spend one more time sitting in a pew next to hypocrites that talk about what they're going to do to better themselves and the world when they get around to it. And again, I don't disagree. It's nuts. So let's talk frankly about the reality of what's driving these people to do these things when it comes to gay rights. 9 out of 10 times, if someone is adamantly against someone that is gay, it's because they themselves have either experienced feelings of attraction towards someone of the same sex, has actually done something in the past that is relating to it, or is otherwise fighting the impulse within themselves. It's called transference. They themselves are trying to assuage the guilty feelings that they harbor due to their upbringing, to their religious beliefs, or to their own bigoted viewpoints that they then lash out at anyone that they deem to be threatening regarding what they see inside of themselves. Pay attention. Time after time, you see preachers, ministers, and priests, deacons and church elders, all being busted with male prostitute A, or they're found in hotel rooms with cocaine and a naked guy. You see it all the time. And then they come out and they say, oh, I've hurt my family. I know I've sinned against God. I beg your forgiveness. All the while saying nothing about the people that they actually did hurt. The people that their hatred and their vitriol went against in the community at large. They never own up to those things. It's ridiculous, judgmental, and hypocritical people like these that Christ himself stood out against so strongly. I mean, Matthew 7:1, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own? You will be judged in the same way that you judge anyone else. Whatever you put on someone else comes back to you. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. In the same manner that we forgive others is the same way that we're forgiven. Stop being so judgmental. Stop acting the hypocrite and call someone out for what you perceive as a sin in them when you know that the sin is just as strong in you. None are free of sin according to God, right? None are free and all will be judged. So clean up your own house of the mud that's slung all over the floors, the walls, and your kids before you start looking at the single footprint that's in your neighbor's house. To do otherwise proves that you're just as the Pharisees that Christ spoke out against. You're the ones that would have nailed him right to that cross each and every time. And you still do, whether you know it or not. There was never an issue with homosexuality in the Bible, and you've heard me tell you why here in this episode. There is, however, a big issue against bitterness and bigotry and hatred and gossiping. There are a lot of things that are said on those subjects. See, the thing is, when people do these things that they're doing, when they're standing against something like same-sex marriage or anything else that they perceive as sinful, which really a lot of times means anything that they alone consider sinful. I mean, how many people, again, try to claim that a woman that's showing her ankles is promoting lust in others? They're doing exactly what was spoken out against in the Bible. What someone else does is not your business. What they do is between them and God, and that alone. What they do has nothing to do with you or yours. There's no homosexual around every bush ready to pounce on your kids and yourself. There is, however, God looking at you and deciding whether you're one of the people that Christ said that he would say, away from me, evildoer, I never knew you. When they say, Lord, didn't I do things in your name? Or did you forget that part in the judgmental attitude towards people that are different? I mean, another person thought that way. It was Adolf Hitler. I mean, remember, it wasn't just the Jews that he sent to the concentration camps. It was also gay people. It was the disabled. It was the elderly, blacks, gypsies. They went there too. I'm blind. Do you think that I deserve to go to a concentration camp? No? Well, what about the black guy that lives down the street? Should he be gassed? How about your grandparents or parents? Should they be the next in line to meet the firing squad? I mean, you see that it's all about the attitude and the context. What you do, how you treat one person for their so-called sin, someone else can just as easily do to you and yours for your so-called sins. If you're offended by the things that I've said in this show, so be it. I'm not out to make friends. I'm here to tell you the truth. And sometimes that truth is hard to hear, and sometimes it can really tick you off to hear it, especially if it's going against what you've had set up for yourself or the belief system that you hold. Now, I do have some verses from the biblical scriptures that I thought that I would give out that's in relation to attitude about how people that are resurrected into a new life with Christ are supposed to have in their hearts, and how they're not supposed to act if they have been renewed. Think about these the next time that you look at the so-called gay agenda or gay problem, and find out if you're speaking in love when you speak and what you think, or if you're doing it out of some kind of inner hatred that just can't be admitted by you. Ephesians 4:29, let no harmful language come from your mouth, only good words that are helpful in meeting the need, words that will benefit those who hear them. James 1:26, if anyone think himself to be religious, not bridling his tongue, but deceiving his heart, this man's religion is vain. Matthew 12. Moreover, I tell you this, on the day of judgment, people will have to give account for every careless word that they have spoken. Titus chapter 3. They shouldn't speak disrespectfully about anyone, but they should be peaceful, kind, and show complete courtesy towards everyone. We were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, and slaves to our desires and various pleasures too. We were spending our lives in evil behavior and jealousy. We were disgusting, and we hated other people. But when God, our Savior's kindness and love appeared, He saved us because of His mercy, not because of righteous things that we had done. Avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, and fights about the law, because they are useless and worthless. Romans chapter 1. People did not think that it was important to have a true knowledge of God, so God left them and allowed them to have their own worthless thinking, and so they do what they should not do. They are filled with every kind of sin, evil, greed, and hatred. They are full of jealousy, murder, fighting, lying, and thinking the worst things about each other. They gossip, and they say evil things about each other. They hate God. They are rude, proud, and brag about themselves. They invent ways of doing evil. They don't obey their parents. They are foolish. They don't keep their promises, and they show no kindness or mercy to others. They know God's law says that anyone who lives like that should die. But they not only continue to do these things themselves, but they also encourage others to do them. 1 Corinthians, if I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Ephesians 4:31, never be bitter, angry, or mad. Never shout angrily or say things that hurt others. Never do anything evil. And finally, I'm going to leave it with this one. Lots of people try to use this to speak out against those that are not Christian, but it applies to all. Especially those that are in the faith are especially at mercy of this set of verses. 2 Timothy 3, 1-6. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. And I really would love to get more into all of this, but I am unfortunately have run out of time. There's so much more that goes into all of it. There's so much more that needs to be said regarding all of it. But I don't know. I guess we'll have to leave it for another time. And I think I will touch on this subject again, maybe in a few weeks. I don't know. We'll see. Either way, though, if you want to go to the show notes for this show, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com/OE071. If you want to send me an email regarding all of this or anything else, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to my Twitter or Facebook, they are at Open Eyes Network, and I'm also found at Ira Robinson on Facebook. Boy, oh boy, what an episode. I hope that you guys are walking away with the understanding that I'm not out to offend. I love everybody. I love all of you guys. I really want people to know and understand the truth of why things are happening the way that they are. Stick around. Michael Vera is going to bring you Late Night in the Midlands here in just a few minutes. And until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much for listening. Remember, tune in Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, latenightinthemidlands.com for my next episode. Until then, have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening.